Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
I'm dreaming of a UK Tech Weekly podcast, just like the ones I used to know, where the tech chats glisten and children listen to informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to this freshly laid egg from the puckered hen's bottom that is the UK Tech Weekly podcast, the UK's most tax-efficient weekly tech podcast. Crammed aggressively through your letterbox like the begging letters from your family ever since you won the lottery. The UK Tech Weekly podcast is an infotainment cocktail mixed by the bar staff at PC Advisor, Tech World, Macworld UK, Computer World UK and Digital Arts. Every Friday we enroll at Audio University, drink heavily subsidised audio lager, pretend to be interested in audio political causes and fail all our audio exams in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. So, please welcome your chatters. Monster Mash, David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK. Hey, that's me. Wall Street Crash, Ashley Alsop, engagement editor at PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
And porn star Tash, Neil Bennett, editor of Digital Arts.
Thank you.
This week we are talking, to continue the theme, Amazon's Dash, Apple's Cash, and pickup artists who treat women like trash. Please board the train now as it is ready to leave. Ashley Alsop,
yes.
Why is Dash making a splash? And also, how do you pronounce Amazon?
Oh, I pronounce it Amazon now, but I used to pronounce it Amazon.
Why did you change?
Because you made me.
I didn't. That's not my fault.
But so Amazon Dash, it has been around for quite a while, but in America, and it's now been introduced in the UK. So this is, there's several elements to it, but the main one that you'll be seeing is the Amazon Dash buttons. So at the moment, at launch, there are almost 50 buttons, and they are basically, you put them around your house, the actual physical little buttons that you put around your house, they connect to the Amazon app. And then when you think you've run out of something, for example, your toilet paper or cat food or whatever, you press the button and then within 24 hours, you will have a new delivery of that item.
That sounds clever. Why has it only just come to Britain?
I don't know why exactly. I guess they were testing it out in America to see how well it would do. And apparently there's like, I can't remember how many exactly, it was something like 2 per minute. Orders on Amazon in America, but I don't think that sounds like a lot. But that's just from
Amazon
the Dash buttons.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, but
so it's certainly some sort of success. You said cat food. What was the other one you said?
Toilet paper. There's also washing tablets. There's coffee. There's makeup.
What's the weirdest?
Condoms.
What would you make of somebody who had like a Dash button on the side of their bed? Durex Dash button.
Yeah.
So after the act has taken place, then you reach up casually and press the button.
Ready for next time.
Well, yeah. So in my house, I'm getting away from the condoms now. That's not a continuation. In my house, we have a piece of paper on the fridge. And if we run out of something, then we just write it down there. I can't quite see. What's the advantage over that, of this system?
I don't really know. It's just supposed to be easy, isn't it? But I think it's a very strange idea. At first I thought I quite liked the idea, but then I realised, can you imagine having 50 buttons around your house?
Surely nobody's going to get
I guess just one or two, but it just seems like a really strange thing. And also, of course, it means that you have to buy from Amazon. You have to buy those products from Amazon, whereas you would usually go to the shops, like supermarket or a convenience store around the corner or something like that. So,
and yet with those things, you go around the corner, you get it straight away.
Exactly.
But this, I mean, you're still presumably going to have to wait.
Yeah, well, if you're on Prime, you have to wait a day. It'll be next day delivery. If you don't use Prime, you wait as long as sort of normal delivery times for Amazon, so a few days.
It's not that convenient.
No.
Is this just another example of kind of the infantilization of this kind of technology breeds? It's kind of like, oh, I can't be bothered to remember to write it down on my fridge. All I'm going to do is just go and slap a button to tell me, oh, I need some more cat food before my poor cat starves to death.
Well, I saw this described as yet another tech invention that does what your mum used to do.
Yeah.
I think the tech industry would like us all to have the mental age of six-year-olds before long. Just be looked after. And we don't have to do laundry. There's that, it's called Laundry.io.
Oh, yeah.
It does your washing for you.
Yeah.
Deliveroo bringing you, takeaways every night.
Don't have to organise anything anymore.
No, we don't have to get up. It's, that's what we need, is some sort of service that brings things from the, you know, from your front door to your chair.
That'll
where you sit like those people in, Wall-E. Never moving out of your chair in some fat, blubbery heap.
Actually, I watched that movie and I thought it was quite positive. I thought that'd be a nice world to live in.
No.
How much does the button cost?
So it costs $4.99, but then when you actually place your first order, you get the $4.99 back, basically. Well, it just takes it off the order, so your order will probably be free, the first one, or it'll be reduced by $4.99, so it's essentially free.
So it's pretty much a free thing.
Yeah,
a deposit.
It's like a deposit. Yeah,
and the actual items you buy.
Yeah,
it's just the same as ordering normally. So is there like a fixed price that they guarantee?
No, there's not a fixed price. It will just be whatever price it is on Amazon at the time. So you don't necessarily know. You can cancel the order once you've pressed the button. It will give you a notification. So it's not like the button can be pressed accidentally. It will tell you that the order's there, and it will tell you how much it was going to be. And that's
do you then have to confirm it, though? So you get a notification.
You don't have to confirm it, but you can cancel it.
Okay. So you've got like a cool-off period.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But I don't... It's a strange idea, and we'll see how well it takes off. But I can't imagine... I imagine it would be more popular in America for some reason. I feel like we were... I don't know. Maybe older people? I don't know who would like it. But in...
The terminally lazy.
Yeah. But people, like, if you were in a household where there's multiple people, surely you wouldn't know if the other person had already pressed it and ordered it.
I don't think this is suitable for flat share.
No, it would be tricky.
Or even anywhere with children.
Yeah.
I don't know how that fits in.
Well, there's weird ones as well, like Play-Doh and Nerf, which I just think surely you can just wait until the next time you go shopping. Yeah, like the gun things.
The bullets
things.
That come out.
Yeah, the little rubber.
Or the gun itself.
The bullets, I think.
So what, you just lost one over the fence?
Yeah, so you just press the button to get another one, and your Play-Doh's dried out, so you press the button. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very, the whole thing is quite strange, but who knows? It could be really popular, and it could... But I think the more exciting thing is actually, there's a thing called the Amazon Dash Replenishment Service, which is completely new. Like, it hasn't actually come out yet, but it's Amazon working with companies, for example, Samsung and Whirlpool, to... build it into their technology, into their products, so that it will automatically know when something's going to run out and order it for you. It's not a button, it's just built into the product. So, for example, a printer could know when it's about to run out of ink, and then it will automatically order that stuff from Amazon.
But printers are really, what's the word, pessimistic, aren't they, about their own
Yeah, exactly. So it probably comes... Yeah, and there's also things like washing machines. If they might have like a, you put all of the detergent in there, and then when it's starting to run out, then it orders it automatically. So that... potentially is more interesting, I think, but the buttons themselves, I don't know whether they will be popular, but we will find out, I'm sure.
Presumably people will get drunk and order 10.
Yeah, but you can do that. You could do that anyway.
No, there's no boost button, though. That's the trick they're missing out on. There's no way to go, all right, I've run out of wine, bring
this
me more
true.
Wine, please.
More wine. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it seems to me like it's a bit of a shame that... the great advances in technology at the moment just seem to be about capitalism. And as you said, making life lazier. And I guess the way I look at this is that it's removing the friction between wanting a thing and having a thing. And I think there's something unhealthy about that, about a society where everything you want is immediately catered for and you don't have to go through a process of, I need to save up for this, or I need to go to the shops for this, or I need to put the work in.
But that's a capitalist society that we, you know, we focus on these kind of things. There are going to be good uses for it. There is going to be a thing that, you know, if somebody is on a drug regimen because of a condition they've got, then, you know, as they start to, you know, run out of particular pills, then it will order them a repeat prescription of things like this. But they won't be as widespread as asking for new set of coffee every time the jar runs out, or please restock my fridge. It's just not as
There's no commercial imperative. That's the problem. Is that things that are actually beneficial to society, nobody actually is going to make any money out of it. So,
Well,
it's questionable whether healthcare in America is actually good for society or not. But that's getting political. What other products do you think that they should add to the Dash buttons in the future?
They've got quite a big range. I'm not really sure what else can you run out of. They've got like tissues and what else have they got? They've got absolutely loads, all sorts of pet and child things, nappies. I don't know. They've covered quite a lot. I can't think of anything.
So they've mostly gone for consumables.
Yeah.
Except for the Nerf thing.
That's just weird. Yeah.
Well, that's just a promo thing to excite nerds to try out this service.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we'll just give out a whole bunch of these buttons. Because a lot of them are, they're promotional items to get you to keep buying the same big brands.
Yeah.
You know, if you buy Kleenex, you buy Whiskers, you're not going to, in the future, you may, find, Tesco's own brand versions of these. But at the moment, it's just, a reason to keep you buying the expensive brand product.
It discourages shopping around,
which
is really bad for consumers.
Then it probably means that they can, if it is successful, they can put their prices up and you wouldn't even notice necessarily.
That would really worry me.
Yeah.
I don't think I could trust a button that is going to charge me money and I don't know how much. That just seems crazy. Should we go around the room? Let's bash Dash. It's rash. The bad one, obviously. Or Dash is Flash. Here's my cash. Neil Bennett.
The first one, whatever the hell that
you
was.
We have rules in this podcast, Neil. You have to actually say it.
What was it again?
Let's bash Dash, it's rash.
Okay, let's not bash Dash, because if you bash Dash, it just sends you a load of crap you don't want. So no bashing of Dash, please.
Neil checked in advance, by the way, listener, which swear words he's allowed to say. So we are allowing crap. So well done, Neil. It could have been a lot worse. Ashley.
I've forgotten it already. Bash Dash one. I don't like Dash, I don't think.
Let's bash Dash, it's rash.
That one.
I'm tempted to say the other one, but no, I won't. Let's bash Dash, it's rash. It seems like a publicity stunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is anybody actually?
We could well change our minds in the future, but right now it's.
I'm sure we will. We always do about things like this. Good. Now for a quick break, and after that we will talk about tax. And by the way, Ashley will be the presenter for this next segment.
Welcome back. So now we are going to talk about tax. So hooray. David Price, why is Apple in the news this week? Oh, that was a spoiler.
Was it a spoiler?
For a little bit. So why is Apple in the news this week?
Well, for bad things. It's funny because at this time of year, Apple would like to be in the news for the imminent iPhone launch, which is immensely, hugely hyped. And we were sort of maybe going to talk about it this week. But Apple stopped us from doing that by getting hit by a huge tax bill for 13 billion euros, which it's been told to pay to the Irish government. I don't know if you actually pay the government or just Ireland, leave the money hanging around in pubs in Ireland. The European Commission has been doing a multi-year, very, very deep investigation of Apple's tax affairs in Europe. And it has concluded that that Apple made a sort of sweetheart deal with the Irish authorities. And as a result, has been paying negligible tax in Ireland specifically, well under 1% tax rate on the profits that it's sort of estimated to have made in Ireland, although profits are very movable. And so they've said pay 13 billion euros to Ireland. And Ireland, hilariously, have appealed against the decision and said they don't want the money.
What?
Yeah.
That
so,
seems very odd.
Well, you know what the Irish are like. They're just a bit silly.
Right.
No, that's not not it at all. That's no, they basically, the way I see it is that Ireland wants people to invest in their country.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Part of the appeal of that, of Ireland as a investment place, is that the tax conditions are quite nice. And they're hoping that they don't scare everybody off.
Yeah, because it could put other companies off. Yeah. But do we know whether, so did Apple actually break any rules here, or do we actually know whether Apple was in the wrong or not?
Well, there's two sides of it. So there's the sort of legal side of it. Legally, it followed the rules. That's
right.
Been its main defence. It
right.
said we paid every cent we owed,
yeah.
every euro cent we owed. But the thing is that the rules were set by the Irish government.
Right.
And so the commission is saying it's not right that you set different rules for Apple to the ones you set
yeah.
for other companies, you know, they've classified this as state aid,
right.
and they said that it's illegal. But I think the essence of it is that Ireland has broken the rules, not
right.
Apple. But they want to sort of retrospectively, is that the right word? Retroactively change the rules, which again, this is the aspect of it that I feel uncomfortable about, is that they're having to pay back taxes when the rules were at the time. Ireland said to them,
yeah.
"We only want 0.005% tax from you, whatever."
Right.
And they were like, "Fine." And now they have to go back and pay the other stuff. That bit doesn't seem fair to me. But that's the legal side of it. Ethically, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it just seems
yeah.
straight up, you know, bad news from me. You know, I think it's dodgy.
When you're a business. You know, if a country says to you, you only need to pay this much, why would you argue that?
Well,
you know, it's a tricky one, because it's kind of, you know, if Apple was told that, they wouldn't
yeah.
say, oh, no, we want to pay you more, surely.
I mean, it's impossible to know what happens behind closed doors, but presumably they, I want to be careful what I say, but presumably they applied some degree of pressure.
Yeah, okay.
And sort of said,
right.
this is what we would like
yeah.
to be the
or
case.
Or it was offered to them because it would, you know, encourage them to invest in Ireland rather than
yeah.
other European
right, okay.
countries. But, you know, the level of complexity to the tax structures and overseas, you know, kind of funds that they set up,
yeah.
It's the kind of thing you would only do if you were trying to avoid tax. You wouldn't necessarily yeah. set up funds in these kind of, in offshore accounts in certain territories unless you were doing it
yeah.
Primarily to avoid tax, certainly from yeah. the stuff that I've been reading today. And, yeah, it seems to be, you know, precisely designed, to avoid paying the kind of tax that if you put all your profits, you know, within one country.
Yeah.
And it's something where, you know, although Apple has said that it's, you know, it wants, you know, tax systems to be, you know, open and easy and clear. Certainly when this came up in Congress, I think it was a couple of months ago, it was necessary to use flowcharts and big diagrams to explain just exactly what was going on with the tax.
Yeah.
So it certainly isn't a clear and open system as that Tim Cook talked about.
One of the things it did was it bought, you know, the iPhones are made in China. So it bought the iPhones from its distributors in China through an Irish subsidiary. And then the Irish subsidiary sold the iPhones on to the US subsidiary or the US headquarters at a markup. And so the Irish subsidiary thereby made a profit in the process. And that was just like, clearly they haven't created any value in Ireland by doing
yeah.
that. They've just chosen to make profits by paying one arm of the company to another. And Neil's right. It's all stuff like that. It's all these little loops, the
yeah.
double Irish, where they move the profits from one company in Ireland to a different company in Ireland, which is owned through a Caribbean island holding, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous. But I would say everybody does it, which is not an excuse.
So at the moment, Apple is in the spotlight, but are there,
yeah.
you're saying other companies probably do the same thing, or?
I think everybody does pretty much that is of that size.
Yeah.
I was looking it up, and Google, and this is a few years back, but between 2007 and 2010, Google paid, I'll just check my notes, an overseas tax rate of 2.4%, which is, I mean, obviously higher than 1%, but a fair tax rate for a corporation is somewhere between 20% and 40%. So it's just, you know, this is standard behaviour. Apple does pay more tax in the US, I feel like we should state. It's paid, I think, 25% corporation tax rate on its US on its overall profits in the most recent quarter.
Is that Apple, though, or is that the fact that the IRS is famously very strong?
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Strict on profits, on its taxation system.
I'm fairly sure that wouldn't be Apple desperately jumping up and down saying, "Please tax me." But that number is lower than it theoretically should be anyway, because of the outsourcing and the overseas holdings that Apple has, and it's sort of generally, as you said, extraordinarily complex tax setup, which nobody can understand unless they're a lawyer or an accountant. And so for people like us that see this, it's hard to understand. It's hard to really get why they're allowed to get away with it. But
that's the thing, is they're allowed, Apple as a company has a responsibility to its shareholders to maximize its profits.
Absolutely.
And part of that is paying less tax. The issue is not necessarily with Apple. It's with the fact that we have got these massively complex international tax systems, which it's up to groups of companies, the EU, maybe WTO and people like that, to actually come together and stamp this kind of behavior out. But the tax havens don't want to stamp it out because they're making lots of profits from, of themselves. They've built economies on, creating tax havens for companies. And it's kind of behavior like this from the EU, which I think is actually what's going to happen to, help change this kind of behavior.
Mm.
Whether that's going to continue, to affect us in the UK post Brexit, we don't know. But it's not
interesting aspect of it, actually. So we could become, if everyone in the EU is obliged to have a standardised tax system, and we're not in the EU, we could become a tax haven ourselves.
Mm. We could, but unfortunately, then anything to do with moving goods and services in and out of other EU countries may be subject to tariffs.
There goes that plan, that master plan.
So what's going to happen now? What's the next step in this case with Apple?
I mean, I said Ireland is appealing.
Yeah.
The ruling, I think that's the correct term.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be reversed.
Right.
Apple has said that it's confident that it will be reversed.
Right.
But at the moment, it's in the hole for €13 billion.
Yeah, it's not a small figure, is it?
although, I mean, if the commission has said that it's up to Ireland to collect the money.
Right.
So when you've got this odd situation where they don't want to collect it, why would they? Maybe they could just say, oh, well, that we're happy with what's happened.
But if they don't want to scare other companies off, surely €13 billion. You can't say no to €13 billion. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of hospitals, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, Ireland's economy... Sorry to say, Ireland's economy is not exactly in the best of states at the moment. They could desperately do with
They could desperately do with 13 billion euros, but they could also desperately do with not losing 6,000 jobs
which is what Apple employs in Ireland.
Right.
And that's right. Discounting all the jobs of all the other tech companies that would also potentially flee. So it could be ruined us.
But would it? Because if the EU's plan is to make, kind of paying your tax across its, across all the all the countries within the EU, kind of equal, then moving to another EU state is not necessarily. Yes, you'll have cheaper wages if you move to Eastern Europe, but will that actually fundamentally, it's if the skills base is there, if the infrastructure's there, it's not just about. Which country can pay the least? I mean, will charge you the least amount of tax. It may not be beneficial to Ireland, but it may not be as bad as everyone says.
Could be good for the rest of Europe, but probably not going to be great for Ireland because they rely on this now at the moment. It's the tax. I don't want to say tax haven because I feel like that's unfair, but it kind of is, isn't it, basically.
No, every country has their own one. We do with the visual effects industry and the film industry. We have massive tax breaks here, which means that Hollywood, films a lot of stuff over here at Pinewood. It's a lot of the kind of big special effects that you see on big Hollywood movies of Marvel and DC and stuff like that. It's all created between here and Canada because we have particularly attractive tax regimes. So
could the European Commission crack down on that then? What's the difference? Stop them saying. I mean, except that we're leaving the.
It's a different form of it's tax relief rather than it's things you can claim back against tax rather than paying less tax on profits.
I see.
Okay, so we need to go around the room to see what our verdict is on this.
This is your first ever around the room, actually. Are you excited?
Yeah, no, not really. But it's pretty complicated, so it's a tricky one, this. But what do you think, David, then? Back off Brussels or tax them to the max?
I think tax them to the max. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Neil?
Yeah, tax them to the max and tax everyone to the max. Make it fair.
Not me.
Okay, tax everybody except David to the max.
Tax everybody except David and Ashley to the max, right? Don't include yourself.
And Neil, of course.
Yeah, and Neil if you want. Okay, so we'll be back after a short break and we'll be talking about sexism.
Neil Bennett, I understand you've been closely following a tweet storm concerning sexist behaviour. But tell me, what's wrong with being sexy?
To be serious, it might seem odd that one of the men on here is the one talking about online sexism, but men should be talking about the subject as much as women. Calling out those behaving badly and reminding everyone that this is an issue for everybody is not, it's not just 50% of the population. Plus, as somebody who's has a daughter and a stepdaughter, it's basically if you're being a dick to women, you're being a dick to them, and that's not acceptable. So, moving on. A douchebag called Dan Bacon wrote an article called How to Talk to Women Who Are Wearing Headphones.
Is his name really Dan Bacon?
Yeah, I'm afraid it is. we're just going to call him Dan Douchebag from now on anyway. It should have been called How to Bother, Annoy and Intimidate a Woman Who's Wearing Headphones. It starts, and just reading it from here, these days many women walk around playing with a smartphone or tablet device and are often wearing headphones and listening to music at the same time.
How dare they?
Yet, that doesn't mean you can't talk to them. And he continues with lines including, how to get their attention, saying, say, take off your headphones for a minute. Pretend to be taking headphones off your head so she fully understands. Some girls are shy and will be hesitant to take off her headphones because they are feeling a lot of excitement about what is happening. You can imagine what the reaction on Twitter was. There was
it very positive? They loved it.
Yeah, they thought it was amazing. No, of course not. There was, of course, the first line of reaction, which was just anger at the sheer level of douchebaggery involved. Next coming was uncomfortable discoveries about the author, where he seemed to have, some anger issues to do with an ex-girlfriend. And then that moved on to the kind of the mocking jokes of taking the proverbial out of him. And then, as usual with the thing, it's kind of nothing. I mean, sadly, we seem resigned to the idea that some men will have a sense of entitlement or feel that they should have a sense of entitlement, and then people will write stuff for them and play on their fears and reinforce what they believe. And this obviously then just adds to their sense of entitlement. And we just assume that this is going to be part of the internet now. And yes, we will mock them and we will get angry at them, but it doesn't really seem to change very much.
I feel like I want to bring in Ashley at this point as an actual real life woman. Have you, Ashley, ever had somebody tell you to take your headphones off or otherwise annoy you on a public situation?
No, I haven't. I don't really think. I mean, I don't think it's an actual real thing that happens, is it? I don't know. But
is it just bad advice then? Is this somebody?
I don't understand why. Where did this? Why did he write this article? That's what I want to know.
I think he wrote the article because there is an audience for sites like The Modern Man and I think the other kind of like pickup artist
and
sites of pathetic little men who can't talk to women and decide
that this is what they need to read. It's just I don't fully understand the article where it came
imagine,
from.
Put yourself in the position. Maybe I can understand this a bit better. Imagine being a very simplistic, shy man who doesn't really know how to talk to women. I'm really sort of very difficult for me to imagine this, but you've never had a girlfriend and you don't know how to talk to women. And then you go, oh, I look on the internet and ask how to do it. And then these men say they have the answers.
So it's actually a serious article. It's a serious article.
I think it's a serious audience. Whether the person who wrote it actually believes what they're writing to be true or not.
I think it is, because he's written loads of other articles about that.
It's very strange. And to be, I've not come across it in real life, but, you know, obviously if he thinks that there is a need for it, then people must have. But not me personally.
I feel like, well, clearly we're both agreed, or all agreed, that it's wrong to approach somebody if they're using headphones. Is that fair? You both?
Well, I would say I've actually created a flowchart of an accurate guide of how to talk to a woman who's wearing headphones, just to kind of set a level, you know, kind of like as a reaction to this. And, you know, kind of starting off with like the first step being, you know, is ask yourself, is this somebody you know? If it is, then obviously saying hi, waving is fine. But be prepared for the fact that she may be busy. She may be off doing something. She may be listening to this podcast. At which point,
unlikely.
you never know. But if no, you know, obviously, you know, there's another question to ask yourself. It's kind of like, has she dropped something? If yes, you know, pick it up, wave, hand it to her and say, I think you've dropped something. And, you know, she will likely remove her headphones. But I think, and this is important, it's not an excuse to hit on her. Just go about your day knowing that you've done something a little bit nice for somebody. And then if the answer to that is no, there's still another question to ask yourself is, you know, is this woman, you know, likely about to be hit by a bus or fall down a hole? You know, so if yes, then it's got more energetic attempts to get her attention are acceptable, you know, shouting and if necessary, kind of, you know, physical contact.
Can you then start hitting on her?
Well, I was going to say afterwards, she will certainly remove her headphones. And but this is not an excuse to hit on her. It's not.
Do you get hit
flipping
by buses
Dawson's
often?
Creek or something?
when can you hit on a woman? Now,
I was going to say. Well, I think that, you know, just to finish this off, I would say that if the answer is no, then basically just leave her alone. I mean, she's probably wearing headphones to avoid douchebags like you talking to her. And if you just want to meet women, just join Tinder.
Yeah, but what about if you I've got no reason. Well, just yeah, Neil's right, join Tinder. Is this any different, and I'm thinking of Ashley again here, is this any different from reading a book? If you're reading a book on a train and a man said, oh, that looks like a good book, what's the book, why are you reading the book, reader?
I mean, the thing about this is as well is that it can go the other way, of course. Like, there could be a man reading a book or a man with his headphones on and, you know, it goes both ways, I think. And I also think if someone's reading a book or got the headphones on, it probably means they're not open to conversation. But if they start looking at you, making eye contact and smiling, then maybe.
But then maybe you were reading a book when they made the eye contact with you, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're literally doing nothing, they're just sitting there. And I don't know. There's no situation. I can't think of one.
There is a wider question here about tech etiquette. And I'm moving away from books again now. I'm going back to the headphones. is that we, because they're quite, I mean, they're comparatively new compared to social conventions more generally, we don't necessarily all have shared understanding of what is okay, how to use them. Like, there's this bigger thing of, you know, smartphones. Do we look at smartphones when we're in a conversation with somebody? Do we disturb somebody who has a smartphone? Is a smartphone something that is a signal, please don't talk to me, or is it just part of life now? I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at you both.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, like, for example, in a shop, if someone is at the checkout and they're on their phone, you know, they shouldn't be.
If the person buying the...
It's basically, it's just... The smartphone thing is often, I think it's just rude. If you're in a conversation with someone, you shouldn't be looking at your phone. If you're, you know, and that's that.
But if somebody has a smartphone, could you then start a conversation with them? Or are you then rude?
Well, it depends what they're using the smartphone for, I suppose. But
I think the
smartphone one is trickier than the headphones one, because if, for example, at work, someone's got their headphones on, it probably means that they want to concentrate and they don't want to talk. And the same goes for on the train or whatever. Sometimes people have their headphones on, they're not even listening to anything. They literally just put them on because they want to not talk to people.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a thing about London, about not wanting to give my attention to people. And it really annoys me that people feel like they have a right to other people's attention. You often hear like country folk saying that they don't like coming to London because nobody talks to each other. And I'm like, well, I know what you mean. But if you're in London for more than a year, then you've given your attention to so many annoying people that after a while you want to be like, well, no, I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, like charity muggers that stand in the middle of the road and they go, hey, you having a good day? And you sort of early on, then you're like, well, you have to answer, don't you? You have to be polite. And then after a while, you just think, well, no, I
always chat with
attention.
Them. I still chat with them because they're so nice.
They're not actually nice.
Oh.
They're being nice to get your money.
But for good things, to be fair.
But it's that sense of entitlement that it, somehow if I, you know, speak to you and, you know, completely unannounced, it's rude if you don't respond, or it's rude if you, you know, do not engage me at the level at which I want to be engaged. Yeah. It's the same for people talking through the screen or people on Twitter, you know, firing messages at celebrities or whatever and then having a rant because they didn't reply or something.
It's or like spam email when they go, well, I assume you didn't get my email because you didn't reply, but I didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of 200 emails I got today, so, you know, deal with it.
I was wondering, Neil, if you could demonstrate for our listeners how not to approach somebody. Let's say that Ashley is wearing headphones. What would be the wrong way to do this?
No, because that's the thing.
You're so anti-sexist that you couldn't even pretend. That's good.
Well, I think actually, you know, kind of coming up to somebody and just sort of, you know, interrupting what they're doing is itself going to annoy them anyway.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I was kind of, you know, making a joke with the flowchart idea. But there's got to be a reason why you would start a conversation with somebody who's clearly doing something else. Yeah. You know, and it has to be like immediate danger or they drop something or something along those kind of lines. Otherwise, you know, just, you know, back off. And there are so many ways. If you're single and you want to meet somebody, there are so many ways in the modern world that can happen, whether it's through dating apps, whether it's through, services that bring together people who've got particular hobbies. You know, it's not exactly, impossible to meet somebody of your preferred gender out in the world. Or just, you know, start up smoking and hang around outside clubs.
Don't do that. Don't do that, listen. It's bad for you.
Work for me.
Culturally, there's like this myth that you meet people in interesting ways in public. You watch a rom-com or whatever, they don't, I suppose these days sometimes they do, but they don't generally just go on a dating website. They would meet somebody in the street. They would have some interesting story to tell. And I think some of us, and particularly the maybe more sheltered members of society, like the people that read The Modern Man, still subscribe to that and think that that's how you do it. That's, you just go up to somebody and be brash and confident and annoying, and somehow it'll work.
Yeah, but you also don't solve the world's problems by, you know, driving a speeding truck, you know,
with
a bomb on the back down the street. I think if you take Hollywood movies as a guide to any form of life, you know, you're probably going to end up in a horrible mess in a corner with a motorbike wrapped around you or something.
If there's a bomb on the bus and it's going to go off if you go below 50 miles an hour, then you could do worse than following Keanu Reeves' actions.
I think at that point, probably phoning the bomb squad would be a Yeah.
I think there was something like Dennis Hopper was listening to the phone or something, so he couldn't. There was some clever work. Anyway, we should go around the room. We're running out of time. Should we say, calm down, dear? Or, I don't know if I'll get away with that one. Calm down, dear, or get lost. Can I use your word? Get lost, you douchebag.
Definitely get lost, you douchebag.
Get lost, you douchebag. Ashley?
Yeah, get lost, you douchebag.
Get lost, you douchebag. I'm going to say get lost, you douchebag, just because I don't get to say that word very often. And with that, I think it's time to wrap things up. So thank you to Ashley and Neil for your thoughts. Particular thanks to Ashley for hosting the second segment at short notice. Well done. Thank you at home for listening to us. And if there's anything you'd like to say to us, feel free to get in touch. You can tweet us using the handle at UK Tech Podcast, or you can email us using the address editor@idg.co.uk. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the other places from which you source podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, favourite, and all the rest of those type of shenanigans. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.